This is Donald Tabb of the Billy Graham team with the second lesson of the Christian Life and Witness course. Last meeting, our lesson was concerned with the Christian's responsibilities of glorifying God and being an ambassador for Him. Also, you'll remember we looked to the life of Philip to discover the four great resources we have as Christians to live up to these responsibilities. We found them to be, 1, the holy life, 2, the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, 3, the Holy Scriptures, and 4, the power and sovereignty of God. I trust that as you reviewed your notes, worked your Bible study and project, and memorized the Bible verses that you discovered, or shall I say, rediscovered the thrill of getting into the Bible and laying choice portions of the Scripture in your heart. I'm certain that in the weeks and months and maybe even years to come, you will remember this Bible study and memory as a great source of blessing in your life. Now, lesson number 2, the Christian life in balance. Just a few introductory remarks. J.B. Phillips in Colossians 2, 6, and 7 gives us Paul's wonderful word on the Christian life. He says, "Just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so go on living in Him, in simple faith. Grow out of Him as a plant grows out of the soil it is planted in, becoming more and more sure of the faith as you were taught, and your lives will overflow with joy and thankfulness." The Christian life is a life of movement and growth. It's not stationary. Neither is it concerned with frenzied activity, nor running in all directions at once, but it's rather a calm, purposeful, productive life, a balanced life. Now, the devil's going to try to get you out of balance. A wheel out of balance on a vehicle begins to shudder and shake the faster you go. Unattended, it can ultimately cause a disastrous wreck. And many a Christian life has become temporarily sidelined or wrecked when it got out of balance. By living our lives according to this illustration, we can go on living in Christ and overflow with joy and thankfulness. You should have in your materials a picture of a wheel. Take it out and make notes on it as we go along. Enter the names of the various parts with the Bible references as we go. Have you found it? Now, let's outline our notes as we go. Roman numeral 1, the rim. That's the outside portion of the wheel. The total Christian life. A, the Christian is different. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The Christian is new and different. When in simple faith a person receives Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, he changes direction from hell to heaven, from death to life, from darkness to light. He is different. And B, the Christian should be different. In 1 John 2:6, we read, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." As a result of your encounter with Jesus Christ, you may look different, you may act different, you may even smell different. In one of our recent crusades, a young man came into my office. He said, "I've tried several religions in the past 5 years, and none have worked. But 2 months ago, something happened to my boss. He was an egotistical and overbearing person, and I would have left him long ago had it not been for the good money he paid me. Then just 2 months ago, he became a different person overnight. He told us in an office meeting that he had accepted Christ. I couldn't believe that it would make any difference. But now, after 2 months, I have decided that whatever happened to my boss must happen to me. And so there in my office, he invited Jesus Christ to come into his life and take it over. Again, I say, in the words of 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, the hub. H-U-B, the hub. And what do you think is the center of the Christian's life? That's right. It can be no other than Jesus Christ himself. Christ plus nothing. A, he gives power to life. In Philippians 4:13, Paul tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He gives us the go. He gives us the power. B, he gives production to life. In John 15:5, Jesus said, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing, that's right. That's a zero with the edges rubbed off. Absolutely nothing. And yet with Christ in the life, he says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. See, he gives purpose to life. In Colossians 2, 2 and 3 in the Phillips translation, the Apostle Paul says, how I long for you to grow, more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ himself. For it's in him and in him alone that men will find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all wrapped up in him. Christ must be the center of your life, or you're out of balance. Well, you might ask, how do we keep Christ in the center of our lives? How does he transmit his power and production to us and through us? How do we stay in contact with him? That's right, through the spokes. So now for a few moments, let's consider the four spokes. First, let's look at the base spoke, the one at the bottom. And this is Roman numeral 3 on your outline. Right in this foundation spoke, the word, W-O-R-D. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Let's read it together. Have you got it? All together. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Now, why is it that the word, the foundational spoke, is the foundational spoke? Why is it the base spoke? Why do we put emphasis on it? What does it claim for itself? Well, let's look. A, it makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. When you came to Christ, you came because someone or some way you heard or you read or you received the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It goes on to say, or rather it says preceding that, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone must bring us the Word of God. And when we receive the Word of God, we see that God loves us. We see that we're separated from God by sin. And we see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And that in simple faith, we can receive him to become children of God. B, the Word of God is inspired. It's no figment of man's imagination. In 2 Peter 1:21, it tells us, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." See, it claims to be profitable. Well, if it's profitable, what's it profitable for? Number one, for doctrine. Number two, reproof. Number three, correction. And number four, instruction in righteousness. Now, what do these words mean? Well, when we boil them right down, what is it that they say? I have a little motto that I try to go by. It's an acrostic. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Now, that may not mean much to you, but I find that generally the Word of God means just what it says, if we can only understand what it says. So to simplify, let's look at these words again. Number one, doctrine. Now, right beside doctrine in your notes, write the word know. Just K-N-O-W. What do you know about grace? That's your doctrine of grace. What do you know about the Holy Spirit? That's your doctrine of the Holy Spirit. What do you know about sin? That's your doctrine of sin. And so on and so forth. Next, reproof. Just write, stop. S-T-O-P. God's Word has stop signs. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And when God says thou shalt not, or stop, you had better not go. For if you do, you're on collision course with God. Next is correction. Just write in the word change. C-H-A-N-G-E. Change. David said in Psalm 119, 59 and 60, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." Phillips says, resetting the direction of a man's life. Suppose I were the navigator on one of these huge airplanes going from here to Honolulu, and my compass reading was just off 2 degrees. Do you know how far I'd miss Honolulu? Well, I don't either, but I'd miss it a long way. We need to daily correct our course by getting into the Word of God. Next is instruction in righteousness. Just write the little word, do, D-O. Not only does the Word of God tell me what I should know, what I should stop, and what I should change, but it also tells me what I should begin to do. In James 4:17 we read, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We need to look into God's Word to tell us what we should begin to do. Now, it may seem to you that we've overemphasized the Bible. But in this day when we're hungering and thirsting for an authoritative Word from God, let's drive down our stake. Let's let the foundation spoke of our wheel be the Scriptures. The comprehensive equipment of the man of God that fits him fully for every branch of his work. That's Phillips' translation of 2 Timothy 3:17. Now let's go on to Roman numeral 4, the vertical spoke. Prayer. P-R-A-Y-E-R. In John 16:24, we read, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. God talks to us in His Word, and we talk to Him in prayer. It's a two-way conversation. In prayer, we can tell God we love Him, tell Him where we failed, ask for others' needs, and ask for our own needs. Maybe I should go over that again. A, we can tell God we love Him. We can offer praise to Him and thank Him for saving us and for bringing us into a right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. B, we can tell Him where we have failed Him. And we'll talk a little more about this later. C, we can ask for others' needs. One of the great privileges in prayer is to begin to pray for other people. D, we can ask for our own needs. I often wonder why we don't pray more and talk to God more about our own needs. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or, what manner is there of you, whom if his son shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts unto them that ask him?" You see, God's not in the business of tricking us. He wants to give us good things. He says, "Ask me for bread, and I'll give it to you. Ask me for food, and I'll give it to you." The biggest hindrance to prayer is us. We sin by word, thought, and deed, and our communication with God is broken. In Psalm 66:18, the psalmist said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That's the problem. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin builds a wall between God and me. Sin is the thing that stops the flow through the golden pipe. Well, how do I handle sin? When I've lost my temper, told a lie, or hurt another, do I wait until I'm going to bed and say, "Lord, forgive my sins"? Which ones? I say, don't bunch them. Keep short accounts with God. Call it what God calls it as it occurs. "Lord, I told that fellow a lie. Lord, I lost my temper. I'm sorry." You know, He's given us the wonderful provision of 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, calling them what God calls them, acknowledging them to Him, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let unconfessed sin rob you of your daily walk with Christ. Clear the decks. Get everything out on the table. Just as a project, I'll challenge you that tonight, when you go home, get alone with God. Take a clean piece of paper and write every known sin in your life on that paper, one by one. Then, one by one, confess them to God. Claim 1 John 1:9 and burn the paper. Now just a word about this conversation. God talking to you in His Word and you talking to Him in prayer. It can take place anywhere. Driving, walking, sitting, at any time. But it springs out of a regular time each day. Begin now to spend this quiet time, this time alone with God. Begin tomorrow. You know, the greatest hindrance to getting anything done is getting started. You could set your heart and your mind and your alarm clock right now to get up 30 minutes early or 15 minutes early and spend a time of reading God's Word or memorizing a verse and a time of talking to him in prayer. Read the little booklet that's enclosed in your material entitled Time Alone with God and do what it says. It has some wonderful, helpful hints. Let God talk to you and you talk to him regularly each day. Now we've come to Roman numeral 5. The left horizontal spoke. I'd like to call it fellowship. Fellowship. F-E-L-L-O-W-S-H-I-P. Fellowship. In 1 John 1:7, we read, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, whatever fellowship is, it's two fellows in the same ship going in the same direction. God doesn't want hermit Christians. He doesn't want us to hibernate. One of the great magnets of Christianity in a world of suspicion and strife is the fellowship and love of Christians with and for each other. It was said of the early Christians, lo, how they love one another. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let us not hold aloof from our church meetings as some do. Let us do all we can to help one another's faith. Hebrews 10:25 from the Phillips. They were always getting together in the early church to share the word of God, to pray, have communion, and eat together with one another, in small groups and in the larger gatherings of the church. Now, particularly these small groups of fellowship can be the hothouses where the young, tender plant of faith can take root and grow. We have found in the Crusades that the time is ripe for coordinating the preaching of the gospel to large gatherings, the individual counseling, and all the other related follow-up procedures with the church-related small Bible discussion group, where new inquirers can get together with the members of the church in small groups to study the Bible, pray, and have fellowship together. This same kind of gathering turned the tide of a nation during the Wesleyan revivals, and it could happen today. You can learn more about being trained to lead one of these Bible discussion groups through your church. We have a program that allows key individuals from your church to come together in these small groups and actually learn to lead one as they function in the group. Later on, we hope that the inquirers from the Crusade can be invited to these home Bible discussion groups. Many key individuals are being trained from the various churches, and we trust that if you would desire to get this training, that you will contact your church, and through your church, get the Bible discussion group training, which can be so vital in the fellowship with these new believers and new inquirers. The right horizontal spoke is witness. Witness, W-I-T-N-E-S-S. The next full lesson will be devoted to this spoke. But it might be well to say that when Jesus Christ is in the center of our lives, when we are spending time daily in his word and praying to him, when we are in harmony and fellowship with other Christians, witnessing is just the natural overflow of the life. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for the wonderful provision that you've made for us in your word. We thank you that as Christians we can live a normal Christian life, a balanced Christian life, a happy and fruitful Christian life. And our Father, we would pray that you would help us daily meet you in the Word of God, that we would daily talk to you in prayer, and that we would avail ourselves of fellowship with other Christians, and as a result, that we would share our faith with others. We commit this time to you and this lesson and our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.